Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a very important chapter. Of course, they're all important, but this one is especially sweet. It's a talk between the Lord Chaitanya, and Ramananda Roy. Thank you. So generally, you know, when you give class, you try to aim for the people who don't know very much, first of all. That's most important, because if you just talk high philosophy and the new people don't understand, not that I can specifically talk a lot of high philosophy, but, you know, it's not very productive. We need to learn the basics. So it'll be quite basic, most of it, but not all of it. So I'm just recording it. So, Hare Krishna. First of all, see, I joined ISKCON in 1974 at Bhaktivedanta Manor here. And, you know, that was the best thing I ever did. So if you're ever thinking of joining the movement, it's the best thing you can ever do. I never once regretted it. I never thought there was anything better. And if you can do it, it's not difficult. It's a lot easier than suffering in the material world. But, you know, like you're living in the material world, so even when you live in a temple, there may be things that agitate your mind or disturb your mind, but if you stick it out, you won't be sorry. So, you know, it's the best philosophy. And it's amazing that the Hare Krishna movement isn't, everybody hasn't taken it up. But unfortunately, most people aren't super smart. I hate to say it, but it's a fact that most people are not very intelligent and they don't think about life. And that, you know, they really just want to be absorbed in pleasures that don't give any satisfaction and which cause a lot of suffering. So, you know, the Hare Krishna movement should be, everybody should be a devotee, because everybody intrinsically is a devotee and everybody intrinsically has love of God in their heart. But because they're so covered over by ignorance, they have forgotten who they are. So here's the chance to remind yourself, to awaken who you actually are. And that is what chanting Hare Krishna is all about. And if you start on the process and you try to persevere, you will become enlightened and you can become perfect. Because the whole idea is to become perfect, because every soul is created perfect, because God is perfect. He can't create anything imperfect. So you're actually perfect when you purify your heart. But unfortunately, we've been contaminated, especially in this age, by so many misconceptions about life. We've been mistaught so many things by the so-called modern civilization, which is just a step further into ignorance and which is destroying the planet. So, you know, we're on the right track. If you came for the monks, whatever it is, monks retreat, that's a good thing to do. And where is there a better place to live than Bhaktivedanta Manor? It's such a beautiful place. I mean, you know, the gardens, all the flowers, the George Harrison garden, you know, it's just so nice. I mean, why would anybody want to live in Clapham or Wandsworth or Park Lane, wherever? So anyway, this particular part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is very intimate knowledge, because it's really meant for very advanced devotees, but anybody can hear it, you'll get some benefit. But I'll explain it very simply so that, you know, you can understand what it's meaning. So this particular verse, where is it? Okay, well, that's Okay, so there's two verses, 101 and 102. So the first one I'll just say myself. Parbu kahe age kaha sunite paishuke apurvamrita nadi bahe tomara muke. So the meaning, this is, if you need to know, Samadhi 8, text number 101. And the meaning of this particular verse is, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please speak on, I am very happy to hear you, because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth. So basically, here in this particular chapter, Lord Chaitanya, who's God, he's described Krishna Varnam, Tvisa Krishnam, Sango Pangastrapashadam. We quote the verses to show that we're not making anything up. This is the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Says that in the age of Kali, the Lord will appear and he will chant his own holy name. He's actually Krishna, but he won't look like Krishna because Krishna was blue and Lord Chaitanya was golden. But Lord Chaitanya was very, very beautiful and very big. And just to see him would immediately purify your consciousness so much that you might suddenly be imbued with love of God. He even met some birds, actually. Lord Chaitanya met. See, everything is possible in the spiritual realm. We're limited by our modern education, by the modern way of life. But actually, there's inconceivability which human beings cannot understand. So Lord Chaitanya, when he saw some birds, some parrots actually, when he was in the jungle, they started to speak. And they recited beautiful verses. So one thing you have to realize is if you want to perfect your life, is that magic happens, and that it's indescribable, and it's very wonderful. And it's so wonderful that it enchants your mind so that the material world becomes very dry and boring. You know, like going to the movies. We don't bother to go to the movies, Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever it is. It's just a waste of time, and it's not beautiful. Nothing against Johnny Depp. He's great. But anyway, so we have something much better. This is called the higher taste, that Krishna consciousness is so much better and so much more wonderful. So Lord Chaitanya, he's God, and he's having a conversation with somebody called Ramananda Roy. And he's the governor of India, or not the governor of India, excuse me, the governor of Madras. And he's a very important personality. So back in the day, before the British and the Muslims conquered India, India was a very amazing place, wealthiest place in the world. Still, even to this day, they say that there are some temples in India that have so much wealth, and this was told to me by the Hare Krishna president of a temple called Tirupati, the Hare Iskon Tirupati. He told me that there's one temple in India that if they sold all the jewels and the gold and everything else, they could give every Indian $1 million. So there's a lot of wealth even still in India. But the main wealth is the knowledge. Indian culture is the best culture. And Indian culture aims to benefit everybody. And so by hearing these pastimes and hearing, reading these books, you get so much benefit because they put you in touch with the truth. It's very hard to find the truth. I live in America. We have, you know, politicians and all the prominent people, they're not really imbued with great qualities. So it's very hard to get the truth. So the Vedas, these books are called the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. So this particular passage is talking about the pastimes between Krishna and his intimate friends. Because Krishna has some intimate friends, he has girlfriends, but there's no lust. That's the difference. See, in the material world, the relationship between male and female is based on lust. And that has to be purified to really understand the message, specifically in this chapter. But the chanting of the holy name, like we were doing, chanting, singing, dancing, that purifies the heart. It takes time, though. George Harrison said, I saw it today, he said, it takes so long. I really want to see you, but it takes so long. He didn't realize how long it actually took. But but it takes a while. But you have to be patient. But it's worth it. Because all good things come to those that wait. So patience is a virtue. So you have to be very patient. But it will come. And in the meantime, if you serve sincerely, then Krishna will bless you. Because he says, Tesham Satada Yuktanam Bhajitam Purvakam Dadami Puriyogam Yenamam Upiyantite. To those who constantly devote and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So Krishna wants us to go to him, but he gives us a little bit of free will. We don't have a lot of free will. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know if anything's going to happen, what's going to happen. So we don't have a lot of free will. So we have to be dependent on Krishna. So if anything happens that we may not, by material estimation, be something palatable, something nice, we know that, you know, Krishna is our friend. And whatever he does is in our best interest. Like there was one devotee. His name was Jayananda. And Jayananda was the first saint in ISKCON. There are many wonderful devotees in ISKCON. So this Jayananda, he was very dear to Prabhupada. And he actually donated money for the first printing of Nectar of Devotion, which is another book, which you may read later, which is a beautiful book. And so he drove a taxi in San Francisco, because ISKCON started over there before it started here. And so he drove the taxi, but after some time he got leukemia, which is very painful. And, you know, he was working hard, even though he had this disease and very painful. He wasn't even spending the medicine money on himself. He was using it to put on a festival, which was the Rathayatra Festival, which was going down Fifth Avenue in New York, where everybody could see Lord Jagannath. The whole idea is that Lord Jagannath, he's the Lord of the universe, and he comes out of the temple, and he rides on these big carts, and they have very big carts. The traditional festival is in a place called Puri in India, and the wagon wheels are probably as big as this room. They're very, very big. And there's three carts. And the Lord of the Universe comes out with his sister. He's got a sister and a brother. Nice family. And so they want everyone to see him. Because by seeing him, they get some benefit. So, anyway, Jayananda, he got this disease. And he passed away. And after he passed away, just to glorify him further, Srila Prabhupada wrote him a letter. And he said, my beloved disciple Jayananda, he said that, you know, thank you so much for everything you did for me. And now Krishna has done you a great favor by relieving you of your material body. So that's, you know, whatever happens to us, it's Krishna's mercy. And we have to accept that. So Jayananda accepted it. And Prabhupada said, so because you were so devoted to me and because you served the deities and Krishna like you did, then you went directly back to the spiritual world, directly back to Godhead. But if you had any trace of material desire, then you have gone to the heavenly planets. So probably you've heard, some of you, that there are higher planets where the standard of enjoyment is a lot better. People live a lot longer. Everyone's much more beautiful. So that's the heavenly planets. So he said, if you had any material desires, you went to the heavenly planets, and from there you went back to the spiritual world. So so Jayananda was a great devotee, and of course there are many great devotees, and this person, Lord Chaitanya, he's God. And he did things which were completely inconceivable. He proved he was God by his activities. So you find that, like in India, Lord Ram appeared millions of years ago, maybe 2 million years ago. He was maybe the Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga. How long ago was it? Did he appear? Anybody know? A couple of million years ago. So, but you'll find that there are so many temples, like here in Watford, not a very exalted place, let's be honest, but Lord Ram is here. And even in a place like Suriname, which is a tiny little country in Central America, there's Indian people from India from generations ago, when they were sent there by the Dutch to make money for them by growing sugar. So they all have names, many of them, with the name Ram in it. Like one lady I know, her name is Ramdani. Ramdani. Dani means wealth. George Harrison's son was called Dani. Is called Dani. Ram. So even 2 million years ago, but the culture is still intact to some degree. And India, you know, has this knowledge, and the Vedas, Krishna always appears in India. There's 2 million temples in India, approximately. Buddha appeared in India. Christ went to India. The word Christ comes from the word Krishna. Christ comes from the word Christos, Greek, comes from Sanskrit, Krishna. And Sanskrit is the most sophisticated language in the world. People can't hardly speak it anymore. It's very complicated. It's the oldest language, but the most sophisticated. So how could we have evolved? We didn't evolve. It takes 12 years to learn the grammar, and the vocabulary is much bigger than English because people were more intelligent. They needed more words to express finer sentiments. So we've been totally misled. But Krishna's not trying to mislead us. And the person that wrote this book, he was a devotee of Krishna. And a devotee wants everybody to benefit. So he wrote the book for everybody's benefit, so they could actually hear about the wonderful activities of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to hear about Krishna and his most intimate lovers, because Krishna likes to have lovers. And ultimately, love is what life is all about. We all want to be loved, and we all want to be loved, and we all want to love. So the ultimate love is between Krishna and his devotees. And that is inherent in everybody's heart. And we just have to bring it out. So the highest love is between Krishna and Radharani. So Radharani is Krishna's dearmost lover, Srimati Radharani. And that word, Radha, means the greatest worshipper of Krishna. There's a very nice verse in the 8th canto describing Lord Shiva. And it says, Tapyante lokatapena sadhava praya sojana paramaradhanam taddi purushasya kalatmana, which means that great sages invariably undergo great austerities for the benefit of others. Such activities, Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmaham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gwanitai Ki Jai. So such activities considered to be the highest worship of all, to undergo suffering for the benefit of others. So that's actually, it's not that you have to suffer, because when you are engaged in Krishna service, you don't really suffer, even though there might be some difficulty. But because you take everything as Krishna's mercy, you know that it's the medicine you need. So Radharani, she is Krishna's topmost lover. And so this verse here describes a little bit about their relationship. So this is on the board. We'll say it. Okay, the translation. During the Rasa dance of Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs with Srimati Radharani due to the presence of the other gopis. Because of the dependence of the others, the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna was not manifest. Therefore, he stole her away. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Out of fear of the other gopis, Lord Sri Krishna took Srimati Radharani to a secluded place. In this regard, the verse Kamsari Apya, verse 106 in this chapter, will be quoted from the Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami. So I'll read that verse. Lord Sri Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, took Srimati Radharani within his heart, for he desired to dance with her. Thus he left the arena of the Rasa dance and the company of all the other beautiful damsels of Braj. So Krishna means the all attractive person. Krishna is Ishvara Paramakrishna. He's the supreme controller. He is the cause of all causes. There's no other cause but him. So Krishna, he lives for enjoyment. And just like ourselves, our goal is to enjoy life, right? So Krishna can actually enjoy life. There's no repercussions with his enjoyment. When we try to enjoy, there's often repercussions. We end up getting bad karma, or we end up, something goes wrong. Our dream is shattered, and then we have to have another dream, and that kind of spurs us on. Hope springs eternal. So we have to, at a certain point, when you realize you're hoping and it's not getting anywhere, then it's a good idea to try something different, try some spiritual life. So that's what this is all about. It's a different way of life, but you will be satisfied. So anyway, Krishna, he's the Supreme Lord, and he lives for enjoyment. And just like in the material world, the topmost enjoyment is sex life. And so that sex life is actually a perversion of the love in the spiritual world. So there is love, but it's not anything to do with lust. So lust is when somebody wants to enjoy their own body, and they want to exploit somebody else for their enjoyment. That's the opposite of love. Love is Srimati Radharani, Krishna's girlfriend. She does not lust after Krishna. She loves Krishna so much that she will do anything for him. She'll go to hell for him. Because, Krishna is her life and soul. She has no other reason for existing except to please Krishna. And that is there in all of us. We're all designed to love Krishna. But, we have to purify our hearts so that the love becomes manifest. And these pastimes of Krishna, they're very exalted because, when people hear that God has a girlfriend We have 16,108 waves who can all appear with simultaneously. They say, oh, this is ridiculous. I can't possibly believe in this. Because they think God is an old man with a beard and he sends people to hell forever and there's only one way. So this is, you know, this is not, that is not religion. So Krishna, you know, he's the supreme enjoyer. And just like in the material world, the highest enjoyment is between the opposite sexes, really. But nowadays, it's all, everyone's very, very confused. We won't go any further about that. Doesn't, you know, whatever situation you're in, you're eternally female, because you are made to be enjoyed by Krishna. Even Krishna has cowherd boyfriends, but because they exist for Krishna's pleasure, they're considered female. But then he actually has some females in, you know, with female bodies in the spiritual world. So here, Krishna, the rasa dance is a dance. Krishna likes dancing. One time he was, the peacocks wanted him to dance. In the spiritual world, you see, every animal, every creature is living to please Krishna. So the peacocks dance. How many of you have seen peacocks dance? Not so many of you. Anyway, they dance in a very wonderful way. And you know, the feathers of the peacock feather, the peacock tail, are extremely beautiful. And it's said that Darwin became confused when he couldn't understand what was the reason, because he didn't understand anything really. But this is one thing he admitted he didn't understand, because he thought he understood a lot. But the peacock feather, he couldn't understand why that existed. What was the reason for that beautiful design? But nature's full of beautiful designs. Nature's amazing. So the peacocks, they wanted Krishna to dance. So Krishna said, okay, you dance first. So then the peacocks, they went into their beautiful dance. And it's really amazing. They dance for the female. The males dance for the female, because they want to bewilder the female so they can, you know, have a bit of enjoyment. So they dance very wonderfully. And nature's just so well designed that it's inconceivably wonderful. That's why it's good, in a way, to get out of the city and see nature. I live in the country myself. And you know, I don't like being there all the time, but it's nice some of the time. But the nature's amazing. You know, like I have some fruit trees, and fruit trees are wonderful because they have these beautiful blossoms. Have any of you ever smelled lemon blossom or orange blossom? You have? Where? In India? Anyway, it's a very wonderful smell, beautiful smell. It's a kind of a tropical thing. But you can go to the greatest, you know, biggest airport, perfumery shop. They have so many different perfumes, but you'll never find a smell as beautiful. And the way they have this beautiful design, every flower you can see has a beauty. I was marveling at some of the flowers. Some of the bushes and shrubs, they have those flowers so beautifully designed. So nature, yeah, it's one aspect of God. So the peacocks, they danced, and it was wonderful. And then they asked Krishna to dance. And Krishna danced so beautifully that the peacocks, they became stunned. And they said, you know, how can we ever, we don't have anything to give you. We'd like to give you something because you dance so beautifully. So then they offered Krishna a peacock feather. So he wears a peacock feather in his hair. And so we shouldn't really wear peacock feathers in our hair because we're not Krishna. You don't have any, huh? Anyway, so Krishna, he has all these wonderful relationships with different devotees, but he has this relationship with everybody. And we all should try to establish a relationship with Krishna. First of all, we start by being a servant. We do anything. And like when I first joined the temple, you know, we would clean the bathroom every day. And then we would go on book distribution. And it's very nice, you know, going out, giving people a chance to hear about Krishna, because we're the only ones who know about Krishna, so we're the only ones who can give Krishna to people. So going out and distributing the books is such an important part of not just going out only distributing books, but going out chanting. You know, they're going out tonight in London, going out on Harinam. I give people a chance to hear the holy name, because even inadvertently, they will get some benefit by hearing the holy name. One time, Srila Prabhupada was in Paris, and French people, are there any French people here? You're French? They're wonderful people. But at that particular time, they didn't want to hear the chanting. So they would block their ears in Paris. And Prabhupada said, well, you have to take their hands away from their ears so they have to hear the holy name. So it's a fact that the holy name, we have one verse, Nam Namakari Bahad Nijasavashakti. The holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. So the holy name is very important. So when we go out chanting, and people hear the holy name, they get so much benefit. And on top of that, if you can distribute a book, if they can take a book and give you a donation, that's, you're changing their life. I met so many nice, I meet a lot of nice people. I mean, people say, oh, you still go on book distribution, you're 77, you know, how do you do it? And I say, well, I really like it. You know, you get a certain taste out of distributing books that you don't get from anything else, of going out, because Krishna rewards you with a special taste because you're taking the trouble to go out and try and lighten his parts and parcels. So if you want to understand these pastimes, which we all should, we have to perform a little sacrifice. Of course, getting up early in the morning is a sacrifice, and giving up, you know, whatever, following the four regulative principles is a little bit of an austerity, but, you know, we should live so that we can benefit others, because that's how you become satisfied. Because, you know, giving people, like at Christmas, people give presents, right? The whole, I mean, not the whole commercial world looks forward for Christmas because they make a lot of money at Christmas time because people buy presents, right, and give people a gift. But, you know, they're not that exciting, and after a few days, they discard them or whatever. But the greatest gift you can give is actually to give people Krishna. So, you know, we get pleasure out of giving people a gift. So you get pleasure out of giving people Krishna. And that is the highest pleasure. And that's how come, you know, the greatest devotees, they spend their whole life trying to enlighten other people. Because it's watching people change from being in distress and suffering and bringing them to, you know, real life, real happiness, real satisfaction. That is a wonderful feeling. But ISKCON, the Hare Krishna movement is wonderful because whatever service you do, you're helping to spread the light of knowledge. You're helping to change the world. So whatever you do, if you clean the floor or you dress the deity, the idea is that people come. Like yesterday, there was two groups of school children in here, and they were sitting here, and we were chanting Hare Krishna just for a little while. We couldn't say anything to them like, you should chant. They just sat there. But they were looking at the deities. And just by seeing the deities, they get so much benefit, because you'll never see anybody as beautiful as the deities. And that's why in India, you see they have these temples like Tirupati has been there apparently for millions of years. And, you know, still there are people queuing up every day for 10 hours to go see the deity. So any activity you do in ISKCON, whatever service you perform, you're doing it for the benefit of the world. Because ISKCON, if you're cooking, like I give out my wife's cookies, she makes really good cookies. And people say, oh, I've never tasted a cookie like this. And so, you know, we would, when we're preaching, you, like Prabhupada, he would cook a big feast for the new people every Sunday himself, 14 preparations. And all those people, you know, they became convinced because it was such a wonderful taste. And then he had, you know, these sweets that he gave people if they're feeling a little bit depressed. Okay, have a sweet. So Prabhupada said, we're the kitchen religion. The point is that, you know, ISKCON is a wonderful mission meant to change the world. And actually, this confidential information, like about Krishna and his girlfriends, that takes a little while for us to really enter into. But it is the ultimate goal. Everybody should hear about these pastimes, and that's why the greatest personalities, they come to the material world. They're sent here by Krishna. They don't come here, you know, because they want to buy a nice Lexus, or they come here because they want to enlighten people. So Krishna sends them here, and they write amazing books. And these books are meant to give us knowledge about Krishna and his activities, so that we become attracted to Krishna. And then when we become attracted to Krishna, all our attraction for the material world goes away. And we just want to hear about Krishna. So there's one. So there's many wonderful verses that a devotee is very fortunate. So there's one beautiful verse in the 11th canto, chapter 2, text number 54. Bhagavat uru vikramangisaka nakam manichastra nerastatape. This means that how can the fire of material suffering continue to burn the hearts of those who worship your lotus feet? The toes on your feet are decorated by beautiful nails which resemble gems that have so much effulgence that they dissipate the scorching fire of material life. They're like the cooling moonshine after the scorching heat of the summer sun. It's a beautiful verse. So that's the thing, that, you know, how can the fire of conditional life continue to burn the hearts of those who worship the Lord? So it's a fact that if you worship the Lord, you won't suffer anymore. You'll be very satisfied. So, because Krishna is such a wonderful person, even if you can't follow strictly, He says, Jatashrad Saramatkatasu Nivina Sabakameshu, which means that even if my devotee sometimes falls down from the path of Krishna consciousness, he should not lament too much. He should remain happy and continue to worship me. And while having, you know, sincerely regretting his fall down, whatever it is, he should continue to serve me, and gradually all the tendency to enjoy material life will go away. So if you read and you read these verses, you get a lot of faith. That's why it's important to read. So today is the appearance day of Vakreshwara Pandit. He's another intimate devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And I was going to say a few words about him because there's not so much written about him. Not in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I don't have the Chaitanya Bhagavat with me because I'm traveling around. So, but Vakreshwara Pandit, he is an incarnation of one of Krishna's girlfriends, Tungavidya. It's one of the eight principal gopis. And he's famous for his dancing. He's also Aniruddha. Krishna has four direct expansions, and one of them is Aniruddha. So Vakreshwara Pandit is Aniruddha. Once, as Lord Chaitanya sang Vakreshwara Pandit, he blurted out, "O Chandramukhya, please give me 10,000 Gandharvas. Let them sing as I dance, and then I will be greatly happy." Lord Chaitanya replied, "I have only one wing, like you, but if I had another, certainly I would fly in the sky." So Vakreshwara Pandit will also act in dramas, because in Krishna consciousness we have many dramas, plays. So he was a great actor. And there's another incident in the Chaitanya Bhagavat about Vakreshwara Pandit and another devotee, Devananda Pandit, which is very interesting. So Vakreshwara's headquarters were in Puri, which is a holy place in India, and they were adjacent to where Lord Chaitanya spent the last 24 years of his life, the Gambira. So anyway, I think I'll finish there. So as far as Krishna stealing Radharani away, I'll just say something about that very quickly. Krishna disappeared from the Rasa dance because the gopis, Krishna's girlfriends, they were going to do a dance with Krishna. And Krishna disappeared to increase their hankering to be with him. So he does that sometimes. He does that with all of us. Sometimes, you know, you're feeling Krishna's left me, where is Krishna's, to increase our desire to have Krishna in our life. So when Krishna disappeared from the Rasa dance, the gopis, they were asking all the residents of Vrindavan, where Krishna was living, where has Krishna gone? And then they saw Krishna's footprints mixed with Radharani's footprints. Seeing the footprints perturbed the gopis because they thought that she must have worshipped, Radharani must have worshipped Krishna better than I have. So then, Krishna, this verse here is all about the gopis, and Krishna and Radharani didn't interact in front of all the other gopis. So there's a certain hierarchy of association that, you know, to be directly in Krishna is an inner circle. That is a great privilege, and it takes a lot of qualification. Although Krishna interacts with all of us, he's in our heart. But, you know, to get to the highest level, Well, we'll never get to the highest level, because the highest level, they're all eternally liberated souls. They never fall down. But there's a hierarchy. It's just like when Prabhupada was present on the planet, you couldn't really, if you were a new devotee, he already had his confidential servants and secretaries, so you couldn't really, like when Prabhupada came here, I never spoke to Prabhupada. It doesn't really matter. The point is that, we have to become qualified. And as we become more qualified, like even to understand some of the books, it's hard to understand unless you're qualified. Some of the books, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, very exalted books, they're hard to understand. You have to be qualified. So the more qualified we are, the more we can enter into the more intimate circle of Krishna. Anyway, I'll finish there. But thank you very much. If you have any questions? Yes? He's a combination of Radha and Krishna. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I would like to ask you, is he has like form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in spiritual world? Is he eternally living in spiritual world?
Yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a section where he lives in the spiritual world.
Okay. But it's not like Goloka Vrindavan.
It's different. It's in Goloka Vrindavan, but it's. It's a part of it, but it's a little different.
Jagannath?
I'm not sure about Jagannath. Anyone know about Jagannath? What? He says it's described that he has an eternal abode as well, Jagannath.
In Goloka Vrindavan, or no, spiritual world. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.